you will own nothing and be happy. Because I said so. It's the news according to me. Well, it is. It's a Monday morning. Maybe not so Monday. Kind of, it's just a Monday morning. It's June 6th, 7:28 Eastern Standard Time. I am up and at 'em. Not as early as I wanted to be, but I am up and early. I'm up and early at 'em. I'm at 'em up or something. I don't know. Whatever that saying is. I have, I don't know what kind of noises are going on in there. Somebody banged my knee on something, but I didn't even feel it. I'm an old person who's, I don't think I have any nerve endings left. I burned them all out, so I don't feel anything anymore. Except for matters of the heart. I do feel things on my taste buds, though, and which is important because of what's in my cup this morning. I have what was left over of my Chick-fil-A sweet tea. Now, you know Chick-fil-A isn't open on Sunday, so at this hour in the morning, not having gotten out of the house yet, you know that this tea has to be at least 2 days old. Which is fine, because it was well kept. I have a very, very important and very sophisticated system of keeping track of my tea, keeping it fresh. So I have a little bit of tea in there, but I also have some V8 Fusion energy drink, which it's not really an energy drink. Their attempt to make it look like a healthy energy drink. It's not really an energy drink. It is healthy. I think the problem is they wanted to make an energy drink that was healthy, and they just ended up making a healthy drink that looks like a energy drink. It's in the same size can. And, of course, they're onto something with this stuff because, you know, that they don't have to sell as much of it. If they can sell a smaller can for more money per ounce than they can a big bottle, that's kind of the way that goes. So we can sell this big bottle for $3.45. We can sell six of these little cans for $12. It doesn't even have as much in it as the bottle does. And it's cheaper to make. I think you see where they're going with this. Which is why it's really hard to find V8 Fusion in a bottle right now. There's places you can get it online. It's like $80 a bottle or 20. I think it's 80. You have to buy three bottles and it's like $80. And it's like $20-some, almost $30 a bottle or something. It's $20-some a bottle. Ridiculous. I didn't do the math. I don't know. Anyway, so that's what I have. I have about a half and half cup this morning. The cup itself is quite spectacular, actually. I wish I should have done this on video. I should have done a video show this morning because I have this little plastic cup. It's like a 16-ounce, probably. I don't know. I'll tip it over here so we can see what it says on the bottom. Can't read it. It's like a 16-ounce cup, and it's got this little lid for it that has a little straw hole, the hole for your straw to go into. It's like a little rubber thing that your straw was in there. Well, I didn't just put just any straw in there, of course. I put a metal straw with a rubber top on it because, you know, I didn't want the straw to end up in a turtle's eye. I guess that's what happens. I guess it was a turtle's nose. It ended up in a turtle somewhere. Somehow. Right before they made it into soup. We have a lot of stuff went on over the weekend. And I was up in Wisconsin over the weekend. I just got in last night. I'm operating this morning from the COVID-free home studios here in my home. I will soon be heading out the door to go to take care of my boat, which needs to go in the water tomorrow. Otherwise, the season will be over. It's up here in the Great Lakes area. Boating season, realistically, is about 3 months long. Four, if you count, you know, into September, and if you get your boat in early enough in the spring. Five, if you don't mind wearing a snowmobile suit at the beginning and ending of the season. And six, if you have ice shoes to walk across the ice to get out to your boat. It's ridiculous. People down in Florida, they spend less money a year on their boat and they keep it in the water all year long. It's always boat season down there. I don't know. I digress. But they got salt water. Their boats wear out. Probably because, you know, they use them. That's probably why they wear out. But boats up here last a lot longer. Mostly because of the fresh water that they operate in. Makes a huge difference. So I've got a boat that's about 30 years old. No, I take that back. It's 38 years old. It's almost 40 years old. And it doesn't look a day over 37 years old. The news cycle has been interesting lately, to say the least. And speaking of news cycle, this is just in. My computer is really doing some weird things this morning. I'm not sure what's going on. Apparently, there was a power outage here at some point while I was gone because everything was turned off. Normally, I don't have everything shut down in my office here, my little studio. And apparently, when I came in, everything was turned off. And usually that only happens when there's been a power loss of some sort. And then I have to repower everything back up again. Well, in the process of doing all that, it has become very obvious that there were some very wacky things going on with the computer. I think I've got it fixed here in the background. We'll see what happens with it. I believe it's fixed. But we'll see. The biggest issue, it seems like over the weekend, that I've been noticing what's been going on here is, as much as I've been able to keep track of anyway, it's not the Queen's platinum celebration, whatever she's having over there. That dominated the news cycle over the weekend. About every news station, about every station had something on about that. Very fascinating. But the infatuation with the royal family just never ceases to amaze me. But aside from that, we have the issue of gun control just rages on. Now, apparently there are people on both sides of the aisle right now who are pro and anti gun control. What's happening here? And of course, the rhetoric on the right is that, you know, there's a lot of good arguments actually coming from the right. And I'm kind of a purist on the Second Amendment. I don't believe there should be any restriction whatsoever. I believe that's the way that the Constitution has it, and I believe it's there for a reason. More guns does not equal more violence, period. That's just the bottom line. The numbers do not show that. You can feel like that's the case. That is not the case. Before guns were invented, there was plenty of violence on the planet. Cain didn't shoot Abel. Now, if Abel had a gun, when he saw that rock coming at his head, wherever he was going to be struck by that rock that Cain was swinging, he might have been able to stop him. He probably didn't see it coming anyway. Who knows how it happened? All we know is that Cain struck Abel, and that was the first murder. And then there we go down that hill. A human took another human's life. Out of selfish, bitter envy. Now, if you paid attention to the little intro I did here about you will own nothing and be happy. I didn't say it in German accent, but that was kind of my reference to Davos and what's going on with her. People are just starting to figure out what's happening here. I'm hoping it's not too late. There are people finally waking up to this stuff. Stuff that we've been saying for 20 years has been going on. They needed the crisis of the pandemic to really solidify the tightening of the noose, to see how tolerant people would be. And of course, that's one thing they can play on is a medical health emergency. They can play on your fears with that. Now, I keep hearing pundits. This is the thing that gets me about the pundits on both sides of the aisle. But it really bothers me on the left, of course, because they're leftists and that this is the way they are. When I hear them say, the American people want more gun control, the American people want this, they want that, the American people are scared, the American people are whatever it is that they tell us the American people are. Well, I'm the American people. And I'm not scared. And I don't want more gun control. So I don't know what American people you're talking to. What poll did you take of the entire country? And guess what? If I'm the only person who believes in the Second Amendment and wants it to be enacted, and I want to exercise my right to keep, own, and bear, carry. If I want to exercise that right, guess what? 325 million other people don't want me to do that. That's too bad. Because the constitutional rights are not based on consensus of the masses. They're based on my individual rights and liberties. This idea that our rights can just somehow be readjusted, rearranged, changed because of some kind of democratic process is complete baloney. You see, they're trying to change the very foundational structure of our country and what it was founded on, what it's all based on. Now, if you want to change the Constitution, there's a process for that. But if you're talking about changing the Bill of Rights, what is wrong with you?
Well, it's archaic. It's not supposed to be this way. At the time, you know, the Second Amendment is not absolute.
He doesn't say it that articulately.
The Second Amendment is not absolute.
It's our most popular president ever. Man who's gotten more votes than anybody else ever in the history of this country. Says that the Second Amendment's not absolute. At the time the Second Amendment went into place, you couldn't buy a cannon. What kind of statement is that? First of all, yes, you could. Secondly, what does that have to do with anything? Now, keep in mind, all of the laws, this gun control bill that they want to bring back better, all this stuff that they want to do, would have no effect on the crime that was committed, the one that they're parading around and stomping around and claiming that they need to do something. We don't care what, just do something. I hear all these representatives now saying, people in my district are just saying, just do something, do something. They don't care what it is. Just do something. Stop this carnage. The carnage gets stopped by, you know, I talked about this a little bit, I think, on Friday. Arming teachers. There are people who are vehemently opposed to this. I don't want teachers running around with guns. Well, they're not going to be wearing them on their hips, okay? And that would be fine with me if they did, as long as they have a secure way of keeping it there without, so the kids don't get to it. But the second thing is, if they're concealed carry, or if they have a secure place to keep that gun in their classroom, and the teachers are not being forced, okay, all of you have to be armed now. You all have to go through training, and every one of you has to have a gun in your room. That's not the case here. That's not what they're talking about. This is, again, I bring back the federal firearm, federal flight deck officers in the aviation world. It's a volunteer program. There are plenty of teachers who will volunteer for a program where they are thoroughly trained, checked out, have the right equipment. They will pay money out of their own pockets to arm themselves and be allowed to carry, or at least to have access to, a sidearm in their classroom. And in the process of doing this, it is a major deterrent to anyone who wants to just bust into a school and wreak havoc. Now, of course, the other thing we did after 9/11 was we hardened the flight deck. The doors that we had on airplanes for the cockpit, for the flight deck, were you could basically kick them open. In fact, if you just fell up against one, it would potentially pop open. When they started using airplanes as weapons, that's when this all changed. Well, so many things that are coming out of this whole, what we're finding out about what was going on politically in this school district it's pretty sad. Now, I guess there was a 911 operator recently that I think it was a different situation, but I think it was the Buffalo situation. She got fired because the people called, they were whispering, they were saying that there's somebody here. They didn't want to talk loud. She said, you can talk louder. They're not going to hear you. And then she hung up on them. They had to call somebody else and have them call the 911. I guess this happened a couple times to this lady. Anyway, the whole point here is that we have they will have the I'm getting emails like crazy now. All of a sudden, I'm not sure what's going on with that. They have these teachers who are armed. And what ends up happening is it just deters. Now, of course, you can put a police officer in every school if you want to do that. So what? Okay, yeah, do that. Resource officer, whatever you want to call it. That's not cheap for a county either. And I'm not saying that there's price should be an issue here, but I'm just saying that's not cheap. Voluntarily having teachers armed is pretty cheap. They'll do it on their own. They'll pay for it. At least I know teachers in this area will. You trust them with your kids already. That's kind of the point. Well, I don't want some crazy teacher going nuts. Who's to say a police officer can't go nuts and start shooting up a school? Anybody can go nuts and start shooting up a school. This is the thing. For some reason, Cokie Roberts was so famously known for, I don't want pilots to be armed. I don't want some crazy pilot coming back through the through the cabin and shooting people. Do you know who's in charge of the airplane? You do realize if a pilot goes crazy, he's already got control of the airplane. We saw what can happen on 9/11. A crazy pilot could do the same thing. He's already got the controls of the airplane. You already entrust him with your life, okay? Anybody can go crazy. This is the thing. This is the world in which we live, folks. There's no reassurance. There's no guarantee that some wacky individual is not going to take you out today. Strange stuff happens. I was reading a report the other day about the, it was an airplane crash. I read stuff about the NTSB all the time. It was an airplane crash where this airplane was falling out of the sky because of a microburst. They decided this is before they knew anything about microbursts really, or didn't really understand them that well. But this is back in, I think, in the 60s. Might've been in the 70s. Seems like I was old enough to remember this. Probably in the 70s. I think it was a DC-10, I think, believe it was. I was coming in to land at some airport down in Texas, I believe, and they flew through a storm cell, and there was a microburst, which just drove the plane to the ground. About a mile, just a little bit more than a mile from the runway. People actually survived the crash. I think out of 160-some people, I think about 20 or 30 people survived. One person driving across the bridge or driving down the highway when the plane fell out of the sky hit his car and killed him. Now, you might just be driving along and everything's great and everything's fine. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, a plane falls out of the sky and it kills you. Now, I'm not trying to alarm you here, folks. I'm just saying life is finite. You better be prepared for that. I hope every day when you wake up, you realize this may be the day that you are done. Now, we can't live that way in fear. We can live that way in assurance because of what we know is on the other side, or who we know is on the other side. If you live in fear of that, I don't so much fear death itself. I fear just the pain you have to go through to get there. It might be painful. I don't look forward to that. And I'd hope to have a little bit of, heads up on what's going on, what's going to happen, a little bit. So I can say goodbye to some people. But other than that, I know it's... So I think that we get over this idea that somehow government is going to make us safe, keep us in our warm little fuzzy lives, all of our lives. We're going to be born... The government's going to take care of us. We're going to have perfect health care. Any little problems we have is, taken care of. We live on our entire lives in whatever state that we want to be in, whether we want to be whatever we want to be. We want to be a horse. We want to be a tiger, cat, female, dog, whatever we want to be. Go through life. And then at the end of the life, we just float away into some kind of nice little home that the government provides for us, and we drift off to sleep, and then we're done. That's what some people on the left seem to think, that that's the way life is supposed to be. Mark Levin had a really good take on this. I can't remember everything he said. I just listened to it this morning. Already forgotten half of what he said. He had some pretty good arguments. I would invite you to go onto YouTube and find his last video, the Mark Levin video that was put out. I think it might have been on Fox News actually, but it was good. He made a good argument for why the elitists are responsible for this kind of stuff. Joe Biden all of a sudden says they're going to do something about gun control. Well, think about this. This thought came to my mind today, so I want to talk about this because I think it's perfectly relevant. The leftist progressives, seem to think, oh, you people are just stuck in the past. You don't want to move forward with any kind of progressive ideas. You want to just live in the past. You want to go back to the leave it to Beaver, you know, father knows best era. Well, first of all, what was wrong with that era? Was life so bad? Did we have cops patrolling schools? Did we have rampant crime? Did we have the kind of things?
Well, yeah, we had crime.
Oh, but you're saying crime is worse now than it was, and we had no gun control then. You think that the laws that are being imposed upon the law-abiding citizens now are supposed to somehow change? You see, there's not going to be any end to this gun control debate. First, right now they're coming after assault rifles, assault style. Now they're realizing that assault rifles don't exist, so they're saying assault style rifles, which just means a rifle with a handle on it. I can show you a hunting rifle, and it is just as deadly, or more deadly, than an AR-15. The rounds that some hunting guns have that don't have the little handle stock. It's just a tactical rifle. Okay, there's a reason why we have a tactical rifle. Because if somebody busts into our home, we want to have a tactical advantage. Taking that ability away from me is making me less safe. Now, sure, I can pick up my hunting rifle that's made to shoot a deer a mile away in my home. 20 feet away from me, there's somebody that I'm going to shoot who come in. And guess what? You're only going to get 3 rounds or 5 rounds or whatever it is they're going to allow you to have. Because for some reason, that makes a difference. I don't understand. Show me the statistics on that. They're always talking about the science, and it's never about the science. Now, I don't know what their motivation is, but for some reason, they feel like they need to do something. So they just have these knee-jerk reactions to some things. The original gun legislation, by the way, this is how this all came about. Back in the day when I think it was Clinton was in office, Bill Clinton. They enacted the assault weapons ban. This amounted to Dianne Feinstein looking through a gun magazine and finding the guns that looked mean, and she decided to ban those guns. That's how that happened. That looks like a mean gun right there. We're going to ban that one. She picked like 27 guns of some kind. Some of them were handguns. Some of them were rifles. That's what we're talking about right there. You can't have that gun. And you can't have more than 10 rounds or whatever it was. Now, I've got a Glock 19. It has a 15-round magazine. Handgun. We had this idiot, we had this lunatic leftist being interviewed by somebody. They kind of caught up with him and they said, so you're talking about banning, because on the House floor, he was talking about banning all semi-automatic weapons. That's like 90% of the weapons out there right now. That leaves you with revolvers and single-shot bolt-action rifles. Revolvers, pistols. Most handguns now are semi-automatic. Most rifles are semi-automatic. I'm talking about banning everything, pretty much. So this reporter confronted him on this. You talking about banning all semi-automatic? Yes, all semi-automatic weapons. So handguns and most handguns and he's, no, I gotta go. So you're admitting you have no idea what you're talking about. You probably haven't even looked at statistics or numbers at all. And the mere sheer fact that The FBI and all the crime statistics that were put out there at the time of the assault weapons ban did not deter, did not take away from or lessen crime in any way. There was no significant, no notable difference in crime during the whole time we had the assault weapons ban. Now, right now, I can guarantee you there's something called the pre-ban and the post-ban magazines that they're being produced right now. I guarantee you they're producing 15-round magazines as fast as they possibly can right now because they're all pre-ban magazines. Now, I still find it interesting that you have to realize the sequence of events that have happened here. We had a president who won an election that they made their heads pop off, that created this monster who was a racist Nazi, a Hitler, if you will, who was going to destroy the country and the world, and we're going to get into nuclear war, and the stock market's going to collapse, and all these things that are going to happen. We didn't get into any new wars. Stock market was raging. In fact, there were very few wars breaking out in the world. We were discussing things with North Korea, the first president who ever stepped foot in the demilitarized zone, talking to the dictator of not placating him, not giving him what he wanted, but talking to him. That's what they always say, right? I need to talk to her. Talk to these people. Talking to Kim Jong, what's his name? Kim Jong Fat, whatever his name is. And none of the things they predicted happened, except for the fact that we had the left going nuts and rampaging through cities. They blamed the whole thing that happened in Minnesota with a certain individual up in Minnesota. That was basically that was all because of Trump. And it caught on fire in through the whole country in this organization that was born out of this. Was given notoriety and a platform and millions of dollars. That didn't go back to the family. Didn't go back to any black communities. It went in their pockets and they went out and bought houses with it. And this is always about control, money, power, and winning the next election so they can remain in power. You see, they don't have a love for this country where they want to restore the country. They don't have a desire to see us grow and expand our ability to exercise our rights. That's not what they're about at all. They want to destroy all the founding principles. They do not adhere to the things that made this country great to begin with. And of course, well, this country was never great. They're very quick to say that. When the slogan was Make America Great Again, you had the mayor of New York. America was never that great. Well, if you hate this country so much, why don't they just leave? Well, because they see it as the cash cow here. This is where they make their money. So, but I find it terribly interesting, tremendously interesting here. Interesting. However you want to say it. Make up your own words. This is the society we live in now. You just make up whatever you want. Words can be violent, by the way. speech can be, when you say something, it can be violent, can be considered a violent attack. This is where we're going. If you say something to someone and they consider it as violence, they can shoot you for it. I feel like my life is being threatened. Therefore, I can shoot you because you said that I have a poopy face. So the thing that I find interesting about all this is how much has happened in the last 2 years. And after we finally kind of start getting out of it, all of a sudden, gun control. Now, you didn't see anything happen in Canada. There wasn't any big mass shooting at a school in Canada, and yet all of a sudden there's a cap on handguns. You can't buy, sell, trade, transfer anything with a handgun right now in Canada. Again, and I point out to you, these politicians, they don't care about you. Okay, they don't care about what happened down in to these children. They really don't care. They couldn't care less. They're almost excited about the fact that something did happen so that they can use this as a political football and get this agenda rolling and get the talk in the news cycle and everything that they're talking about away from what's going on at the border with fentanyl, with baby formula, with the economy, with inflation, gas prices, everything that actually affects your life. It's Putin's fault. It's these guns. That's what's happening. I believe over the weekend, this last weekend in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there were more people shot in Chicago. We always talk about Chicago because it's a high population area. Now, keep in mind, and I realize that this is one of the things that the right has a tendency to kind of screw up too as well. The per capita number of shootings and deaths in Chicago is actually lower. It's not the highest in the country. Actually much lower than some smaller towns. On a yearly basis, even. And yet we use Chicago because the numbers are so high. Because the per capita rate is, when you're talking about over a million people living in a place, and then you talk about 100,000 people living in a particular place, well one death in 100,000 might be higher than one death in 200,000, but there's more death because there's a million people. Now there's, you do the math, I think it's five. So there may be five times more deaths, so that they bring that up all the time. Now, see, the problem here is we have a very large country here. The population in the United States is much higher than that of Europe. The state of California has more people than Canada, all of Canada. This country could absorb Canada as a state, and it would still not be the largest population state, the highest population of state. So we have to put things into perspective here a little bit. The randomness of a crime, of a crazy individual doing something completely insane, unheard of, unthinkable. Who would have thought in this little community, this little sleepy town, that something so bad would put them on the map? And yet this is what they use nationally every day. With all these guns that are out there, all the stuff that's out there right now, we're not cracking down the criminals who use them. We're cracking down on the law-abiding citizens who will turn them in if they're requested to. This happened in some state, in some countries. People walked in with their guns and they gave them to the government because the government said, this is what we need to do to solve crime. And while all these people were marching with their guns, of course, everybody was being killed because all these guns were marching in. Oh, no, wait, people are still being killed. The population of Australia, for example, It's not even a tenth of the population we have in this country. And yet it is the size of the continental United States. So keep in mind that we're talking about perspective here. We're being duped. When you look at the conference that's going on over in Davos, or whatever it is right now. I think it just ended. And then you have the Bilderbergs and all that kind of stuff. And this stuff really happens now. They're finally admitting that this stuff actually happens. All these big world power hungry people. President of Pfizer. All the money they've been making and how they now use that slush fund, all the money that's sliding around out there. Now they've got all the power now. They think that they have all the power now because they got all this money sloshing around. Governments have given them buku billions of dollars. Now they're looking forward to the next pandemic. They're looking forward to monkeypox. Oh, maybe monkeypox is going to be the next thing. We need to make a vaccine for that so we can make another $1 billion. Russell Brand did a really good talk about, I think it was yesterday afternoon. He had a really good talk. He's getting very popular, by the way. Russell Brand is actually kind of breaking out. He's like 5 million followers or something on Facebook now. He's spelling it out like it. I'm surprised they haven't knocked him off the platform. And I think they've actually have tried to a few times. I think they've defunded some of his videos. Because he's been talking a lot about Pfizer and about the stuff that's going on. Now, there are some reports. I'm hearing stuff right now. And this is, let me just go to another note here. I've been reluctant to bring this stuff up because it's been a little speculative. However, it's not on Reliable News now. I think it was on the Epic Times, Epic News, Epic Times. Let me look here in my mailbox because I believe it was in my inbox. I probably deleted it already. Some of you heard about this judge that got killed up in Wisconsin. I was actually up there when this all happened. I was a little north of where everything happened. It was Milwaukee, I think, where the judge got killed, or it was in over closer to Madison. Killed in Madison, went to Milwaukee, or else it was the other way around. I'm not sure. It was kind of an outskirts town where the person went. But what we have here is, it's not showing up here on my news feed now. It was in there. So let's go look and see if it's in my trash box here real quick. Potential lead in Oregon. I don't see it here anywhere. I'm pretty sure it was Epic News. Epic Times News there. Don't see it. Let me see if I can find it here on my phone because sometimes it's still there. Yes. Here it is. Oh, that's why it's because it's going to this address. This is the Epic Times. An incurable disease linked to COVID-19 vaccine. Apparently there's some studies on this now, and there's some things happening because of the vaccine. And again, this is just more and more of the disinformation that's coming out. I don't know if this is, is this a realistic study? I don't know. There are some things brewing under the pot cover here that I think are about to really just blow up in the faces of the leftists. One of those things is the election. True the Vote has apparently, they've stumbled onto some information and some intel that 2000 Mules, the documentary that Dinesh D'Souza did, they were kind of at the center point of that. And, you know, when you start delving into who's funding this operation, the mules themselves and everything that was going on there, and how they were organizing this whole thing, who is connected to it and what all is happening. Apparently, there's some very huge information that's coming out, and they're concerned that for their lives and the lives of their staff, because it's a extremely, it goes very deep. Let's just put it that way. Now, then we also have the Sussman trial, and here again, if you follow the trail of evidence here with this whole trial, now I don't know if he has the fortitude to do the right thing here or not. Durham knows the inside track and how all this stuff happened. I'm sure he has information that's not even admissible in court. But it's still evidence. And he can put together the pieces of the puzzle. He's got to know that the FBI in the highest levels was complicit with what happened in 2016. And the entire witch hunt that took place after 2016 and just that followed the president for 3.5 years and still does to this day. I still saw an MSNBC headline on YouTube that said something to the effect of, the Sussman trial proves that the Russia-Trump collusion cannot be denied. What? Now, Bob Woodward is still, he's still a spokesperson on MSNBC and CNN. I think they guess CNN, I guess. Now, keep in mind, this is, you know, you have people like, what's his name? Stelter. And all the other individuals there who are just doing these weird things. Just the weirdest people in the world. And they're all talking like they're serious, and this is all the Trump, you know, the January 6th commission. Now they got somebody else that was formerly working for Trump now is supposedly saying, yes, the administration should be punished for what happened on January 6th. You have to realize, if there was anything they could tie them to and arrest everybody, their whole thing is that they want to perp walk. They are not going to be happy until they have perp walked Donald Trump. That's what they want. They want that visual. Now, keep in mind, Navarro, they did that to Navarro, Peter Navarro. They went to the airport, busted him. Took him off in shackles, and guess who was there to record the whole thing? This top secret operation, they're coming down, here they come, and guess who's there to record it? CNN. How'd they know it was going to happen? Funny how the news is tipped off to those kinds of things, and they just happened to be there with cameras to show this stuff. How'd they know it was going to happen? Did you know it was going to happen? I didn't know it was going to happen. Stuff like this is going on. Now, there's this one headline. I hope I can find it here, because in the mornings, my news feed just gets like, it just moves so fast that I'll see something when I get up. And of course, 30 minutes later, it's buried with, I've got this little software program I subscribe to on here. It's called Filmora. they decided to post about 50 videos on how to do their stuff. The conservatives have a clear choice over a vote. God, that's Australia. Yeah, I think it's buried within all this Filmora stuff somewhere here. There was an MSNBC headline stating that where did it go? Something to the effect that the Sussman trial proves that they can't debunk the Trump Russia collusion. They're still going with this. Now keep that. Think about this. You had the Mueller trial. You had all the resources that he ever needed for 2 years. $40-some million he spent on this whole investigation deal. And nothing was tied to Trump or his family. And they're still believing this crap. It has come out now that the dossier was absolutely fabricated. And they still refuse to believe it because these people are incredibly, insanely delusional in their brains. That there is something physically wrong with their brains. They have believed this thing about this monster Trump for so long that they cannot unwrap this thing from around their brain. Yeah, here's ex-Trump White House advisor. Trump administration needs to be punished. You know, they can always find somebody who's disgruntled with Trump and who left in disgrace or for whatever reason. Fiona Hill was one of those individuals. Come to find out, Fiona Hill has been involved directly with some political operations. In fact, she was involved in the whole Trump Russia thing. I have no interest in other than speaking the truth. There were some snakes in the administration that apparently Trump, you know, he had people around him who were just tied just closely enough to the establishment that they had people in there that never should have been involved or been around that president. Let's see what else we've got here. I can probably, it was right in this area somewhere. I'm going to try to find this. I cannot find it. There's that. Talking about the press, White House press secretary, spokesman, whatever she's called. Yeah, I don't see it here. It's gone forever. January 6th committee prepares to unveil roadmap of criminality in Capitol attack. I'm sure it was, you know, going to be Trump calling all these individuals and telling them to break what window to break, where to break in, how to walk, how to get around, who to kill first in the Capitol building there. This whole thing is such a sham and such a sad state of affairs. The January 6th commission, by the way, committee, is the most pathetic political charade I have seen in my lifetime. It really is a political hit job of the biggest proportions I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. Now the show's gone on a little longer than I had thought it would, and I really do need to get going because I have some things I got to get done today. But hopefully tomorrow morning I will be able to have another show. Now. In fact, tomorrow morning, most likely, I will be able to have another show. So this afternoon or this evening, I really am seriously considering, especially if it's raining outside. I'm not going to have a whole lot of, I have so much to do outside right now. I hadn't planned on doing anything inside. I may actually have a show this evening when I get back here, and I may, it may be early evening. It could be very late tonight. I'm planning on being live. Either live or a recorded video broadcast. It's either going to be an audio live or a video live on Rumble. I haven't decided yet which it's going to be. One way or another, I'm planning to have something this evening, if nothing else gets in the way. Now, I know that sometimes my evenings, the schedule changes for me, can change drastically depending on what's going on with life. In other words, what the wife wants to do. But that's kind of just the way things go. So I'm going to wrap up the show today, this morning, and just say that it is a time to have your head on a swivel. And by that, I mean, just keep an eye on what's going on around you. Don't be paranoid. Don't be scared. But be alert and be aware. And don't just take what you hear from the right or from the left as being the absolute truth. Take a step back and just listen to what they're saying and see what their motivation is. Understand where they're coming from and see if it really makes sense what they're talking about. Because sometimes that's the best way to observe. Take a step back and see if it makes sense. Because the rhetoric can get very confusing. And that's the way it was. Monday, June 6th at 8:42 a.m. or whatever time it is. What it was, 7:40, whatever time it is. It's been a long show. Longer than I thought it would go. And I still have some drinking left in my cup here. I thank you for listening. I thank you for subscribing. Thank you. I really do appreciate the time you spend. If you spend a whole hour listening to this thing, then you need to go seek some professional help probably by the end of the show. Typically, I would think. I don't know. But regardless of all that, God bless everybody. Have a great day. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. And pray for those who are awake enough to see what's going on. Take care, everybody. Have a great day.